Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
I'm going to share a challenge with you that God's kind of laid on our heart a while back, and we were ready for this today, and we're excited about it. As the church that Jesus Christ established, we have one task. One simple task. The generation that watched Jesus ascend to heaven, that same generation that waited in an upper room in the book of Acts in chapter 2, those same men and women walked outside. Sounds kind of simple, but it's just truth. They walked outside. Since those moments took place, there has only been one task for this church to accomplish. We all understand the changes that our society has undergone, our culture, and in these last couple thousand years, most of us weren't around that long ago, but we understand the differences that our society has, even in our lifetime. How things have changed, how targets have moved, morals have changed, rules have changed. The center has moved on us. The purpose has shifted to something different. Darkness seems rampant and unchecked in our society and in our culture. Sin festers and wreaks havoc. Generations repeating sins and repeating awful situations and digging deeper into those. We talked about that in the book of Judges not too long ago. We see mass murders going on. We see addicted minds. We see behaviors. Those things are everyday occurrences in our culture. But all of that would be normal, if darkness had a chance. If darkness had a chance. Fortunately, it doesn't stand a chance because we still have one task. And I'll get to that in a moment. First of all, let's talk some science. You guys came to church to talk science today, right? A couple of months ago, we were at district council, the pastoral team, and we were getting challenged by the Holy Spirit through our district leadership, those services and prayer times. We were worshiping and praying in a worship and prayer service. Go figure, how did that happen? And God dropped a couple of thoughts in my heart. And one of them was just a simple science thought that turned into a principle that we need to live by. I was pacing while I prayed in the back. We were at James River Church. I don't know if you're familiar with that church, but it's massive. Their sanctuary seats like 3,000 or something. They run three services at five different campuses, whatever. But I was in the back of that room praying. I like to walk around when I pace. Or when I pray, I pace. Sorry. When I'm praying. So I'm praying around the back of the room there as I'm walking. I'm just noticing some color changes in the carpet in certain spots. And it looked kind of geometric and different. And I was noticing it as I looked around while I'm praying. It just came to my attention. And you're like, wow, your mind was wandering. Well, it can do that. But I knew there was a reason because I started thinking about it. And as I noticed those designs and those changes, it caught my attention that it was shadows. It wasn't designs in the carpet. It was simply shadows that were on the carpet. It looked like almost a different color, almost a different texture depending on how much darkness it was in, because the light was blocked. The shadow made darkness in the room. The darkness and the shadow changed based on where I was. As I moved around, I made shadows. I blocked the light. I said, you can look down on the floor right now and see there's shadows around. There's darkness, and it's not darkness because you darked it. It's because the light's not there, right? That's how shadows work. I know that's real deep science, but that's kind of how that works. So that's how deep our science is going. But the shadow and darkness changed based on where I was. Either I could see better, or the light would even reflect off me and make a spot brighter. I would notice it would change. Either I could see better, or it wasn't blocked by me. One of those scenarios. So we didn't talk science yet, but here's the lesson. Darkness only exists where light isn't. Because light always wins. Pastor, this is so basic. I know, right? And we need to live this out. We've got to flesh this out a little bit. Darkness isn't a status or a thing that, as much as it's just the absence of light. You don't really dark something. Have you ever told somebody, I want to dark that? But we do light things, right? That's because the light always overcomes the darkness. It always wins. It's simple science in this universe that God's created. Shadow doesn't defeat light. It's only the absence of light. Objects don't defeat light. They only reflect it. Light always wins. That's the reason you see me, is because light's bouncing off of me. If there wasn't any light hitting me, you wouldn't see me. I'd be invisible. Simple science, right? Pastor, you're not invisible. I know that. Okay. This all flooded my mind while I'm praying back there, and I'm pacing, and I'm noticing this, and I just, the simple principle of it just pierced my heart, and I was like, missions convention is coming. I've got to pray this. Our missions emphasis is here, and I've got to share this. Because if I notice a dark place or a shadow, all I have to do, and this is the phrase that captured my heart, all I have to do is move the light. Let that sink in for a second. All I have to do is move the light. I've gotten really used to having my cell phone on me, and it's got a flashlight in it. Anybody else used to that? And where I would often wonder what was going on, I instantly just reach for the phone, pull out the flashlight, and bing, I'm looking, right? All I have to do is move the light. I just bring light to the situation, and all of a sudden, darkness is gone. I move the light. When I notice there's a dark situation, when I notice there's a shadow, I simply move the light. Everybody say, move the light. This has been our basic and single task since Jesus ascended. Since the Holy Spirit descended, the early church of disciples did powerful science when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They moved the light. They walked outside in Acts chapter 2. I don't know if you've read it. I'm not going to take time today to read into it, but you can read that chapter of the Bible. Chapter 1, Jesus is about to ascend, and he says, go to Jerusalem, because power will be given to you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. And so they go into Jerusalem, and they sit there in chapter 2. They're praying, and they're found up in an upper room praying and waiting for God to show up. And when the Holy Spirit descends, the immediate thing they do under the power of the Holy Spirit, the infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit, is they moved the light. In practical terms, they left the building. They went outside. And immediately in that setting where their culture was going on, there was huge festivals happening there. And they walked outside and people were there. And when the light encounters people, they have a decision to make. And thousands of them chose life through Christ in that moment because they went outside. What if they had kept waiting for more and more in the building? What if they just waited to see how bright the light could get inside? Instead of simply walking outside and moving the light. Thousands of people getting saved. The whole church began in that moment. Powerful infilling, immediate movement was the product of the church. In the book of Acts as a whole, the actions of the apostles in the beginning of the church was to move the light. A short time later, they began dealing with persecution. They were getting jailed and beaten and killed for this movement. Saul of Tarsus was breathing out murderous threats, and the religious leaders were following through. They were killing people for this light that was being moved. There was persecution happening. There was struggle happening in the church, and people had to decide if they wanted to move the light in obedience to Christ or hide in the dark and avoid persecution and punishment. That's the choice they had, a very real choice. Man, we're so comfortable, aren't we? We were watching some Revolutionary War stuff this weekend, and it just dawned on me how in the middle of it those people were. They didn't have a choice of whether or not to get involved. You were either part of this side or part of that side. You were either housing the soldiers or you were not and paying the price. You either had persecution or you didn't, and you were part of that. And there was just no middle safe spot to stand on. And that's kind of where if we're not careful, church, that's where we'll find ourselves, is trying to find some safe middle ground instead of being on purpose, in action, choosing a side. I'm not saying we've got to be jerks of opinion and decision makers and extremists. I'm not saying that's the case at all. And we have to know where we stand. We have to be ready to answer for that. Like the early church in their moment, can't get comfortable. We have to either choose to move the light or hide it. Those are the two options. So Saul is bringing out these threats against the church. Darkness tried to snuff out the light. And early in Acts chapter 3 and 5, moving through there, all of a sudden the church is getting persecuted in Jerusalem. And so what happens? All the church and the believers, they scatter. And we're like, oh no, that's disastrous. Actually, what God said was, yeah, you squashed this one light, right? And guess what happened? Hundreds popped up. The light was moved by that persecution. I happen to think that if we were a little more under duress in our faith, it would probably pressure us to rise up a bit more, as opposed to just sit comfortably and quietly by. Just posting a little share this if you like Jesus thing every once in a while on Facebook, with all the other people who are already believers that we're friends with, right? We've got to share this out. We've got to move. We've got to respond with this. The darkness tried to snuff out the light, but that's not how light works. Light always wins. So when they persecuted the church in Jerusalem, it spread like wildfire. The light was now all over the region. That's where we find Philip in Acts chapter 5. Or excuse me, in Acts chapter 8. Wherever the church went, light was spread. Light was changing the movement, changing the moment. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, he's sharing and shining the light of Christ. Even as Saul of Tarsus was trying to go and kill other believers on a road to Damascus, Jesus turned up the light himself. Literally, his light, not just a principle of light, but a physical light shined and knocked Saul down and literally, physically blinded him to grasp his attention. And what we know as Saul of Tarsus, the murderer of the early church, instantly became Paul the Apostle sent by Jesus Christ, the ultimate mover of the light in the New Testament. Because he decided to move the light, to get to action, to do something. He was called to respond, and he did. This sparked in my mind as I noticed the shadow and darkness. You're like, wow, Pastor, you see shadows differently than I do on your floor. But that's what God spoke to me in that moment. And I don't say that very often. You guys know me. But I just sensed that in my heart that we have to recognize that there's shadow, there's darkness in our world, there's dark places around us, but it's only because we haven't taken the light there yet. We haven't shined the light of Christ on them yet. Because light always wins. A simple idea has global and eternal applications, since our task has been and still is to move the light. Get light to the world lost in darkness, the world in shadow, nations that are hostile to the gospel. The light still shines. If we see a place that's in shadow, don't stand there cursing the darkness. We just move the light. If I'm shining a light right here and this area is in darkness because something's blocking it or something's obstructing it, all I do is just move the light. I'll come closer. I'll get a different angle. I'll find another way. But all we have to do is move the light, and light defeats the darkness. That's what missions, that's the heartbeat of what we do as a missions church. If I see a soul or a family or a community or a city or a region or a nation in darkness, we simply move the light. The Assemblies of God was created to be movers of the light. That's why this fellowship was founded. We partner with Light for the Lost and Convoy of Hope to move the light. We partner with Speed the Light to move it faster. Instead of a missionary walking somewhere, he's riding in a car, or he's driving a truck, or he's taking a sound system. We're doing it faster. We're proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ until he returns. Our missions efforts only echo our single occupying task, which is to move the light. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5 to let our light so shine before men that they'll see our good works and they'll glorify us. They'll glorify our Father in heaven. It's his light. This little light of mine. No, 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 it's not yours. You borrowed that, okay? It's his. It's the light of the goodness and the glory of God. And when we let our light shine, when we let that light shine, they see us and they give him glory because light wins. When I was 13 years old, God called me to move the light into the lives of students, to be a youth pastor. I know that moment in my life. Perhaps you have a calling moment or a situation where God spoke to your heart and you knew there was a movement that God put in your life or a movement he put in front of you. I know he did that for me when I was 13, that I was going to be a youth pastor. That was confirmed in my heart through other people. God went to great lengths to make sure I knew, kind of like the Apostle Paul. He went to great lengths to make sure I knew that was what his mission was for me. Various times in our lives, and I say our because then I got married, praise God. 22nd anniversary this weekend, yeah. Woo-hoo! Don't say too much about it. She might realize what she's done. Okay. Trying to keep her in the dark there a little bit. Just stay with me, baby. Various times in our lives, God has shown us a place either in shadow or darkness, and he's moved us there. I know that in my heart, in my life, in my experience with Christ. Pastor Brant Jordan, the pastor here just a few years ago, saw a light was needed in a dark place in Africa. And he responded. And he went and he took his family and he went there to shine the light in a dark place. He moved the light. Many of you partner with him, join with him, supporting his efforts to move that light. I believe the Spirit of God is pointing out dark areas that you and I can bring light to. I believe he's revealing those to our hearts today. Ultimately, our mission's giving, which is above honoring God with tithes and offerings. It's a separate kind of thing, but it's an offering. It's simply us staying on task. That's simply what mission's giving is. It's us staying on task because our task hasn't changed since the moment Jesus ascended and the Spirit descended in power and authority. It was to move the light. That's our agenda. That's our goal as a church. That's our purpose. And it hasn't changed. And so we accomplish that through missions endeavors and through missions giving. Where there's darkness and shadow, they simply need the light. Millions around the world will never bump into, they will never meet, or they will never even see a Jesus follower in their given months, weeks, and days. There are millions around the world who, as they go through their life in busy, crowded cities, 36 million people living in Tokyo, we talked about Wednesday night, they will walk those streets and they will likely never see another person who follows Jesus. Throughout a week, throughout a month, maybe even a year or a lifetime, they will never encounter someone who has a relationship with Jesus Christ unless we move the light. I love mission services because they're so impactful. They challenge me because I instantly start asking, or I start thinking, maybe like many of you are thinking right now, well, somebody should do something. Right? Gosh, we're supposed to move the light. People are in darkness. They're lost without Christ. All they need is the light to shine in their world. Somebody ought to do something. Yes, we should. We should do something. This is one of the ways we can. I hope that sinks in this morning about the idea that there are millions of people on this planet that will never encounter a firsthand witness of Jesus unless we up our game, unless we move the light quicker and faster. They are literally walking through every day of their 60, 70 years on this planet, and they will never run into a Christian they'll never meet one. They'll never drive by a church because there's no church around them. We got to move the light. We must move it. We must intensify its shine. We must purify ourselves to clearly reflect and not absorb that light, right? To reflect it for God's glory. Our missions efforts here in our city and around the world flow from your support. I'll say our support because we partner in as well. As a church, we collectively give not just when a need arises, because guess what? There's already a need. There are standing, operating needs that are amongst us and around us and across the globe right now. So we're not waiting for one to present itself. We give on a regular, upfront basis because we know the light has to move. Each month, we remind this body here at Central, I'm just giving you a good basic understanding. If this is your first Sunday at Central, we do not ask for money all the time like that, just so you know. You pick the one Sunday a year that we talk about Faith Promise. Congratulations, you're here. Okay? One Sunday that we ask you to pray about this and to consider to do something. There's a couple other times in the year where we'll take on a project and we'll give specifically for that. But throughout the year, we just say, hey, give as the Lord lays on your heart to give in your tithes and your offerings. But today is a special day because we have to move the light. Each month, we remind this body that on Mission Sunday, we celebrate that the first Sunday of every month, on Mission Sunday to give to that missions commitment. We give to move the light, to bring life to dead souls that are lost in shadow and lost in darkness. Faith Promise is what we call that giving. That's what this card is. Faith Promise giving. If you're on this side, they look like, no, they all look the same. That's right. We had a couple different versions of the card. That's what we call that effort. And today we're challenging Central. I'm challenging this body. And I believe the Holy Spirit is challenging this body to stretch out in faith, to make a commitment goal for the coming year. And you're like, wow, I have to do the whole thing. You don't have to give it today. It's a monthly commitment. That's what my wife and I do. We talk about and we pray, what can God get through us? And we set a goal and we write that on our card. And then every first of the month when it's Mission Sunday, we give that offering above our tithe, above our other offerings. We honor the Lord that way. And what that does is it funds all of our missions ever. You see the screen and the table back there has a little bit of a display going on and showing you the missionaries that we support. It shows you the missions programs and projects that we also support. So your Faith Promise goes to fund those activities and those things. It also goes to fund our local outreach. When we do outreach to our community, our egg hunt, our neighborhood outreaches, our fall fest, different things that we do to try to reach out to our community. When we partner with William Chrisman football team, we buy those high school kids who don't know what church is all about, we buy them a dinner and say, hey, we're glad to partner with you guys. We're proud of you kids. Showing them the love of Jesus, right, through a simple meal. We're working on Truman. They're looking at one of the new assistant coaches of Truman football team right over here. How about that, huh? Don't play too hard tonight. You got practice in the morning. Okay, anyway. But we're trying to get a footprint in the community, trying to get a connection that way. So your Faith Promise giving funds and supports that as well. So instead of every time there's something that comes along, hey, we need $20 for this. Hey, we need $50. Hey, we need $100. Hey, we need $1,000. We just standard say, God's been talking to you. I believe God talks to you before the need arises. So that when the need is here, we can respond immediately. So that we can set up ongoing relationships with these ministries. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars in need in Speed the Light just in Southern Missouri, our Southern Missouri District missionaries alone. They're waiting on vehicles. There are missionaries who go and serve their entire term in the field and don't have a vehicle the whole time until they come back. They've served 3-4 years, some of them, before they have enough funds in Speed the Light to get them their vehicles. There's a need that's standing there. How would you like to go to a foreign country on a task? How would you like to go to work tomorrow and they've taken away your computer or your truck or your welding machine, or your tools. You're a linesman for the phone company, but they took away your bucket truck. Get it done! How? Right? That's what our missionaries are asking. How can I do this if they don't have the equipment and the task? Yeah, they do what they can, but we can help them do that faster through Speed the Light. That's what your faith promise giving does. It funds those missionaries and those missions efforts, both in our neighborhood and literally around the world. When there's a disaster somewhere on planet Earth, your faith promise giving gives Conway of Hope the funding to go and be where they're doing something. They're taking firsthand response to people and essentials for life. That's what happens. We show the love of Jesus that way. So we make a committed goal for the year. Since we came to Central, our missions giving has more than quadrupled in the last 3.5-4 years. Praise God. And I don't believe it's because I'm doing it. I believe it's because we're simply putting the need in front of us and God's people are responding. We are moving the light at a faster rate than we have before. Praise God for that. Tremendous growth and steps to move and increase every single year to move the light. In 4 years, we've seen over $94,000 leveraged to move the light of the good news of Jesus Christ in 4 years that we've been here. Praise God. So far in 2018, we're totaling about $1,800 a month. That's what our missions income roughly is. And if you're a smart person like me, you can do the math in the room and know there's about 150 people that attend this church on a pretty regular basis. We usually get about 130 of them together at the same time. Just saying, it's summer, I understand. But anyway, so you can do the math real quick, and you know what you give, I know what I give, and we say there's about 1,800 a month that comes in, and there's a great need that needs to be met. And so I just want to challenge you to be praying about this. In this moment, right here, right now. To hear what the Spirit is saying and challenging us to respond. I'm not ashamed to stand here and challenge this body, encourage us to stretch. To stretch. These are not commitment cards that we call you back on, like, hey, you said you're going to give this much money, where's it at? That's not what we do with these. They're simply a target to give us an idea of what we're expecting or assuming that God spoke to you about. And that you're going to do your part on that the other side. If you're faithful with it, God will get it to you so that he can get it, as the old church saying is, if God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Oftentimes it sticks, doesn't it? God gives us a resource and we hold on to it instead of channeling it on through to the kingdom that he wants it to get done. So we're called to prioritize his kingdom and give generously this year towards missions. That's what our Faith Promises Initiative is all about. So I'm asking you to pray, to ask God what he can do through you and your family. God, what can you do through me? What can you do through our finances? How can we give towards this missions endeavor? And what amount can we give to make this happen? And then respond. You simply complete this faith promise card and begin sharing the light and the faith that way, by giving. We cannot be content. We can't be content to just call areas lost. I can't do that. I can't just write certain parts of the globe off and say, well, they're not us, so it's too bad they're not us. We can't do that. We can't allow them to stay in the shadow of darkness anymore. Do some people choose darkness? Sure, but they can turn around and choose life tomorrow. They can do it today. In fact, you could do that today. Maybe you're here today and you haven't chosen to follow Christ yet. And you're like, man, this church is after my money. Well, first of all, we're after your heart. We want you to be right with Jesus, to be right with God. And when you're right with God, you have that light inside of you, and that light reflects and shows the glory of God to those around you. And mission, one of those ways that that happens. So first of all, our priority is this, Pastor Chad, if you'd help me this morning. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then our mission is first, it's right in front of us, is that you need Jesus. You need forgiveness of your sin because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God showed his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, he sent his son to die for us. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I'm not following Christ yet, but I'm sensing I need to. I need to get right with God today. If that's you, I'm going to give you a chance to respond right now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and give people a chance to respond privately. If that's you today, say, Pastor Steve, I need forgiveness. I need to begin my walk with Jesus today. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, make eye contact with me today? This is your first time doing that. I haven't followed Christ, and I need to do that today, right now. This is your moment. God brought you to church for such a time as this, just like this today. Is this your moment? Just raise your hand, make eye contact with me. Anybody here?
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.